بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أما بعد.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
فقد وصلنا إلى الحديث عن أسماء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال أسماؤه
الشريفة صلى الله عليه وسلم.
محمد محمد مع المقفي أحمد الحاشر العاقب والماحي الردى. ذكر في هذه
so the author says
30 اسما من اسماء
in fact he mentioned 30 of the noble names of the Prophet in this
من اسماء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
in this portion of his poetry 30 names. I will let you listen to the
محمد مع المقفي أحمد الحاشر العاقب والماحي الردى وهو المسمى بنبي الرحمة في مسلم وبنبي التوبة وفيه أيضا بنبي الملحمة وفي رواية نبي المرحمة طه وياسين مع الرسول كذاك عبد الله في التنزيل والمتوكل النبي الأمي والرؤوف الرحيم أي رحم وشاهدا مبشرا نذيرا.
And this is beautiful because it is listing the names of the Prophet, peace be upon him. I think the author here, fervently tried to painstakingly tried to list every single name that he heard of about the Prophet peace be upon him, and definitely the sources here would be the Quran and the Sunnah and the narrations of the companions and so on and so forth. So you will be amazed at the number of names that he listed here, as I mentioned, 30 names, as Sheikh mentioned, 30 names, and we'll go through them one by one in the stanzas.
في بعض النسخ في البيت هنا وكونها ألفا ففي العارضة ذكره عن بعض ذي الصوفية. طيب هذا الباب ذكر فيه عن
أسماء
رسول الله
عليه الصلاة والسلام.
كان من عادة العرب
It is actually that tradition of Arabs that if they wanted to indicate their revering of someone that they start to enumerate his names. So the Prophet peace be upon him has many or has several noble names, and here the author tried painstakingly to list as many of them as he could. First is Muhammad peace be upon him. Muhammad, that is the first name, Muhammad. Here we have a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that the Prophet peace be upon him said, I have five names. I am Muhammad, I am Muhammad, I am Al-Aqib, I am Al-Hashir, and I am Al-Mahi. Five names, and we'll try to translate each and every one of those names.
يعني خمسة أسماء إما يعني أنها خمسة أسماء وردت في الكتب السابقة.
So when the Prophet peace be upon him said I have five names, it doesn't mean that these are the only names. That these are five of his names, five of his names, because there are other names that came in different books and in different narrations and in the Quran. But these five names that he mentioned peace be upon him are names that are privileged because they are very encompassing names, names that encompass or comprehend a lot of characteristics, and also you'll come to know that. In fact, in our Aqidah lessons, We learn that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Allah has 99 names, whoever comprehends these names will be admitted to the Paradise. It doesn't mean that these are the only names of Allah. Allah has a lot of names. But amongst those names, there are 99 that if you comprehend, you'll be admitted to the Paradise. So when the Prophet said, I have five names, it doesn't mean that these are the only names that he has. It means that these are five of his names. Five of his names that have specific characteristics or specific privileges. And the first name is Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Allah said, and those who believe in what was revealed to Muhammad, and it is the truth from their Lord. So the name Muhammad was mentioned in the book of Allah, and it is the most honorable name amongst the names of the Prophet. And it is the most honorable name amongst the names of the Prophet. The word Muhammad means the one who is worthy of praise. The one who is worthy of praise. The one who should be praised. What should be praised? His characteristics. He has lots of beautiful characteristics that should be praised. And that's because of how numerous his praiseable characteristics are. How numerous his praiseable characteristics are. So when you do hamd, when you praise someone, you praise him for certain characteristics. He is generous. He is beautiful. He is merciful. He is polite. He is gentle. He is nice. He is likable. He is amicable, and so on and so forth. When you keep on enumerating these characteristics, you come upon the fact that he is praiseable. And the word praiseable means in Arabic Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, do you know how I raised your praise? The Prophet said, Allah in his name, Allah knows better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I raised your praise by coupling your name with mine, so my name would not be mentioned except that your name would be. So in the prayer we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The name of the Prophet was coupled with the name of Allah, and that's a huge honor. That's a huge honor.
إلا قرب ميلاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أخبر الأحبار والكهان أن نبيا يبعث اسمه محمد بدأ الكهان والأحبار أهل الكتاب والكهان وكذا يتناقلون أن هذا الزمان
before the prophecy of the Prophet, peace be upon him, many of the scholars of the Jews and the Christians and many of the
تسموا بمحمد.
And many of the knowledgeable people about the Christianity and Judaism knew or had from their books the news that there will be a final messenger, and his name is Muhammad, and he will be from the Arabs. So what did the Arabs do? 15 of the people. And during the time of the Prophet, 15 families named their newborns Muhammad. They named the newborns Muhammad, wishing that that Muhammad would be the Muhammad that is being referred to in the Torah and the Bible. But only one of them was the Muhammad that we know. The word Muhammad is is what we refer to in English as superlative.
Superlative.
So Muhammad, involves two aspects. The aspect of thanking Allah or gratefulness to Allah, that he is the most person that is grateful to his Lord. The most grateful person to his Lord. And the most praised person. amongst the people. So these are the two aspects of the name. The two aspects of the name. It is a superlative. That means that he is the most grateful person to his Lord. That's one aspect of it. And the second aspect is that he is the most praised person amongst the people. The one that carries the most praised characteristics. The one that carries the most praised characteristics. And remember, if you will, the hadith of the intercession. The hadith of the intercession when the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that when I will prostrate before the throne of Allah on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to me praises that I will praise him with that I don't know now. So in this life and in the hereafter, he is the one, the most one who ever praised Allah, or the most one who has ever been grateful to Allah. He is the one that was privileged with the chapter of Al-Hamd, which is the chapter of what? Al-Fatiha. Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. That is a privilege that was given to the Prophet. Because remember, this is a verse that was never revealed in any other book except for Quran. Allah privileged us with that chapter. And he is the owner of al-maqam al-mahmud, the privileged position on the day of judgment. And he is the carrier of the banner of al-hamd, the banner of the praise. And he is the one that will be given the intercession, which is the major intercession, which is the intercession that will upon which Allah will, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start after it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start judging amongst the people on the day of judgment. So he is the one who prays Allah in every single situation of his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet said, Allah is pleased with the servant that eats or drinks and thanks Allah for what he eats and drinks. Allah, the Prophet peace be upon him, also mentioned about servants who thank Allah in every situation of their lives, or in actually some situations of their lives, like coming from traveling or reaching their destinations and so on and so forth. So the Prophet peace be upon him was very very thankful of Allah in every situation of his life. There is no situation of the life of the Prophet peace be upon him that he was not thankful to Allah about. He was thankful to Allah about everything in his life. Also, one of his names is Ahmad. And the name Ahmad came in previous books, including Torah and Bible, or Injil. Because remember that Jesus gave the glad tidings that there is a prophet that will come after him. His name is Ahmad. Ahmad. So the name Ahmad came before Muhammad. And that is compliant with the rule that says that retribution complies with the deed. So because he is Ahmad, Ahmad means grateful of Allah. Because he is Ahmad, he is grateful of Allah, he praises Allah. Allah made him Muhammad, praised by Allah. Because he praised Allah, because he is Ahmad, Ahmad, Ahmad means the one who praises Allah. Let's make sure that we understand this. Because he is Ahmad, because he is grateful of Allah, because he is grateful to Allah, because he praises Allah. Allah praised him by making him Muhammad. And he is al-muqaffi. Al-muqaffi means the one who ends things, the one who finalizes things. What does that mean? Is that he is the final messenger. Nobody comes after him that is a messenger. There is no messenger after him. He is the final messenger. He is the final prophet and messenger. That means in Arabic al-muqaffi, which means the finisher, the one who finished the series of prophets and messengers. The one who follows the trace and guidance of those before him and perfects their work and finishes it. He is the one who walks on the way, on the same way, he's the one who walks on the same roads that they walked when it comes to their guidance. He's the one who follows their guidance and perfects it and finishes the series of the prophets and messengers. And he is al-hashir. Al-hashir means the one who brings the resurrection.
The one في زمن نبوته عليه الصلاة والسلام.
What does that mean? It means that he comes very close to
the زمانه عليه الصلاة والسلام إلى أن يأتي الحشر.
The one after which
في زمن نبوته ورسالته يعني خلال أمة دعوته يعني يأتي زمن الحشر يوم القيامة تقوم الساعة على ناس من أمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The one of which his ummah will witness the judgment day. The one whose ummah will witness the judgment day. What does that mean? It means the ummah or the nation of Moses, the nation of Jesus, was interrupted by the nation of Muhammad, the ummah of Muhammad. So each ummah, there is an ummah that comes after it. But our ummah, there is no ummah that comes after it. So we are the ummah that started by Muhammad and ends by the judgment day. So he is, that is why he's called the one that witnesses the resurrection. Means that his ummah extends from the point of his prophecy till the judgment day. Not interrupted by any other ummah. Remember, the ummah of Moses was interrupted by the ummah of Jesus. The ummah of Jesus was interrupted by the ummah of Muhammad, but the Ummah of Muhammad will not be interrupted by any other Ummah. It extends from the time or from the point of the prophecy of the Prophet, peace be upon him, till the judgment day, till the resurrection. So it is the Ummah of Muhammad that extends from the time of the Prophet till the resurrection, not interrupted by any other Ummah. That is one meaning. The other meaning is that he is the one that, peace be upon him, would be the first one that comes out from the earth on the day of judgment. He will say, I am the one, the first one the earth cracks on top of on the day of judgment, and I will come out, but I will see Moses holding one of the pillars of the throne of Allah, and I will not know if he came out before me or I came out before him. So he said, فَإِذَا بِمُوسَى, means I will be surprised to see Moses holding one of the pillars of the throne of Allah, and then I will not know if he was resurrected before me, or that he survived the blow of the trumpet because of the fact that he was shocked on top of the mountain of Sinai. He was shocked on top of the mountain of Sinai, and the Prophet said, peace be upon him, that that's why maybe he will be saved from the shock of the resurrection. It's a privilege given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moses.
وهو صلى الله عليه وسلم فسر
العاقب. He is العاقب. العاقب. What does that mean?
إن لي خمسة أسماء أنا محمد وأنا أحمد.
And he is, peace be upon him, said that. He said, I have five names. I am Muhammad. I am Muhammad. I am المقفي, الحاشر, and العاقب. We said Muhammad. What does that mean? We said what Ahmed means. Muhammad means the one who is praised by Allah and praises Allah. Ahmed means the one who is praised by Allah. Al-Hashir means the one whose ummah witnesses the resurrection, not interrupted by any other ummah, and he is the one who is resurrected first. Either he or he said it's either me or Moses. I will not know if it is me or Moses. But he is the one who is earth who cracked first on top of it. And he is Al-Aqib.
فلان عاقب يعني قد خلف إيه خلف من قبله في الخير فهو عاقب.
What does that mean?
يعني خلف الأنبياء.
It means that he is the one who follows the guidance of those before him with good deeds with good deeds. It means that he is the best follower of the guidance, the best follower of the guidance. There are those among us who follow the guidance of the Prophet, but that can be graded. There are those among us who follow his guidance best than others or better than others. So the best of the follower is al-aqib, the one who follows the guidance as good as he can or as best as he can. The best follower, the best follower of guidance.
المؤلف طبعا النظم يعني ضرورة النظم يعني تخرجه إلى استبدال يعني بعض الألفاظ الماحي الذي يمحو الكفر فقد يمحو
الردد الماحي الماحي the eraser
فهو عليه الصلاة
the
والسلام
eraser what did he erase قالوا What did the Prophet erase? He erased kufr, he erased shirk, he erased disbelief, he erased association and idolation, he erased dishonesty, he erased, you name it, he erased lots of things, he erased ignorance. He erased kufr and disbelief. He erased mischief.
المقصود أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء لمحو الكفر.
It doesn't mean that that mischief and dishonesty are away from the earth now and they're completely erased. No, it means that his Sharia, his Deen, his religion came to do that.
يعني بعض السلف يعني فسر الماحي قال إيه يمحو الله تعالى به سيئات من تبعه.
Some of our ancestors said that the word eraser here means that those who follow him will have their sin erased. Will have his sin erased. If you follow him, it makes sense. This is very logical. If you follow him fervently, faithfully, sincerely, your sin will be, inshallah, erased. But the hadith of the Prophet supports the first explanation. What is the hadith of the Prophet? The hadith of the Prophet is Allah erases with me kufr or disbelief. Allah erases with me disbelief. So this hadith supports the first opinion that the word eraser here or the name eraser refers to erasing disbelief, erasing association and idolation. Or worship of idols and shirk.
وأتباع الرسل مع أعدائهم أن الحرب بينهم سجال يعني يدالون مرة ويدال عليهم أخرى لكن دائما الإسلام يعني
Here, Sheikh says that there is one very important notice that we have to make, which is that Islam is an eraser in its own right. That doesn't mean it has to have the military power to erase kufr, because Islam spreads by its momentum and its power. Okay. And there are these ages where Islam was militarily superior, and there are ages where Islam was not militarily superior. It doesn't mean that it has to be militarily superior to erase the mischief and erase the association in kufr, because Islam does not only spread by military power, it spreads by its own power, by its own strength and its own momentum. And he is the one called Nabi Rahma, the Prophet of Mercy. And look at his biography, and you'll know that every single moment of his life is mercy. In fact, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, "Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin." We have only sent you as mercy to the people. We have not sent you except as mercy to the mankind. Mercy to the mankind. Mercy to the mankind. Remember when the angel came to him and said, "If you want me to demolish the mountains on top of their heads. I would do that. And the Prophet peace be upon him said, no, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make among their progeny who will say La ilaha illallah. So he was very, very merciful to people and to the mankind in general, and even to the animals. He was very merciful to the animals. He said, be merciful to those on the earth, so that the one who is in the heaven will be merciful to you. That is in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim, one of his names, Nabi al-Tawbah, the Prophet of Repentance. The Prophet of Repentance, what does that mean? He tells us, he invites us to repent to Allah. He does not invite us to have claims that we are forgiven and that our sin is carried by someone else. He doesn't invite us to do that. But he invites us to go back to Allah and repent, to seek forgiveness. He is the Prophet of Repentance. He is the one who told us that we should go back and seek forgiveness from Allah, that no one will carry our sin because our sin is our own business, and that we should go back to Allah and seek forgiveness from Allah. He himself, who has been told that he is forgiven, he himself said that I go back and repent to Allah in one day or in every day 100 times. The companions said that some of us would count up to 100 times that the Prophet peace be upon him say Astaghfirullah, or I seek forgiveness of Allah, or that I seek the repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for up to 100 times in one session. Up to 100 times in one session. And he is the one that was told that he's forgiven by Allah. So he invites us to go back to Allah and repent. And that he told us that repentance or that the gate of forgiveness is open, and that we should never be desperate of the forgiveness of Allah. Never be desperate of the forgiveness of Allah. And keep seeking it. And keep seeking it. And never think that our sin is forgiven for granted, or that somebody else is carrying it for us. We seek forgiveness of Allah. That is what we do.
زي الاشتباك يعني بطانة الثوب به، فالناس يعني في الحرب يعني يشتبك بعضهم
ببعض. And that I am the prophet of Malhama. I am the prophet of the epic.
وسمي صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا الملحمة.
And he was told, or he was called the Prophet of Epic, because that he fought for the sake of Allah. He fought for the sake of Allah. He didn't fight because he wanted to fight. He didn't fight because he likes fighting. He didn't fight because he likes battling. He fought because he wanted to spread the word of Allah. He fought for the sake of Allah. And he said, my sustenance was made to be under the shade of my sword. Why? Because as a privilege for him, he was given a fifth of the bounty of war. So he was ordered to practice jihad. And he said that I was sent with the sword close to the judgment day. The Sharia or the Sharia of Jesus did not include jihad, but the Sharia of Moses did. There are lots of similarities, as we have learned before. There are lots of similarities between the Sharia of Jesus, between the Sharia of Moses and the Sharia of Muhammad, peace be upon him. And part of such similarities or commonality. Commonalities is that the Sharia of Moses included jihad, and also the Sharia of Muhammad included jihad. So jihad is not something new. Jihad was in the Sharia of Moses, peace be upon him. And he is Nabi al-Marhama, the Prophet of Mercy, again, but that's just a different name, the Prophet of Mercy.
نبي الملحمة وبعضها نبي الملحمة.
Because these they came in two different narrations. Each narration has different
طه
character, different
وياسين
letter,
مع
different
الرسول.
letter or character. ملحمة and مرحمة. ملحمة means
النبي
epic.
صلى الله عليه وسلم
مرحمة
وياسين.
means mercy. Can you see the
الحادي
difference?
عشر
Only one
عشر.
letter. ملحمة لام
يعني
مرحمة راء. ملحمة
يعني
means epic.
يعني
مرحمة means mercy. So I am the prophet of ملحمة versus I am the prophet of مرحمة. ملحمة مرحمة. Epic. Mercy. Epic mercy.
طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى.
And I am Taha. Taha is one of his names. And I am Yasin. Taha came in the chapter of Taha. Taha, ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. We have not revealed the Quran to you so that you would be miserable. No.
الصواب يعني في هذا القول الصواب في هذا.
And Yasin also is one. Yasin والقرآن الحكيم. Yasin is also one of his names. But this is one opinion. The more authentic opinion is that these characters or these letters are the openers of the chapters as other openers like Alif Lam Mim. This is one of the openers. And it is in the chapter of Al-Baqarah. So Taha, Taha, two letters does not necessarily mean it is the name of the Prophet, peace be upon him. That's another opinion, which is more authentic. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says noon and the pen and whatever and what they write, you are not upon the blessing, you are not upon the blessings of your Lord, a crazy man. So here noon doesn't mean that his name is noon, and also Alif Lam Mim Sad, a book that has been revealed to you, doesn't mean that his name is Alif Lam Mim Sad. So if you look at the Quran, you'll find that the openers of the chapters of the Quran, some of them included letters or Arabic letters that nobody knows what their name what their meanings are. This is one of part of the or some of the miracles of the Quran is that Alif Lam Mim Sad. What does that mean? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And it has been revealed in that way because the Arabs at that time were very proud of the language and they were very very clever at using it. In fact, they would debate each other with poetry and they would extemporaneously come up with poetry. They would come up with poetry extemporaneously, which is something very difficult. So they were very extremely clever with the language. So Allah wanted to challenge them. Alif Lam Mim Sad. Tell me what does that mean? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So.
على آل ياسين في قوله سلام على آل ياسين سلام على
and Allah used the language in a way that really challenged them, that made them stunned.
نبي الله إلياس عليه السلام من أسمائه في القرآن في بعض القراءات القرآنية ياسين.
And you cannot say Yasin because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran Salamun ala Ilyasin. Ilyasin here is the name of one of the names of Prophet Elijah or Ilyas. So you cannot tell me then here that Yasin refers to the Prophet Muhammad because Allah said Yasin to call here Prophet Ilyas or Elijah. So still, after saying all this, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't call him Yasin. We could, but we're just saying that a more authentic opinion about the word Yasin is that these two letters do not refer to his name as they refer to the openers of the chapters as in other chapters. Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim Sad, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad, and so on.
الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام
and الرسول the messenger one of his names the messenger
يا أيها الرسول
أيها الرسول, أو أيها البروفيت, report what has been revealed to you from your Lord. يا أيها الرسول بلغ, report what has been revealed to you by your Lord, by Allah. الرسول, the messenger, the carrier of the message, the one that carried the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, to all the people.
كذلك
the humans and the jinn.
عليه الصلاة والسلام قال كذاك عبد الله في التنزيل من أسمائه عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And Abdullah, the servant of Allah.
في التنزيل يعني في القرآن.
The servant of Allah.
التي ذكر
or the slave of Allah. عبد الله, the slave of Allah.
تأتي على أنها صفات للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, والبعض يقول أنها من أسماء. البعض يعدها من صفاته والبعض يعدها من أسمائه. فيكون من أسمائه في القرآن عبد الله.
Some count Abdullah as a name and some count it as a characteristic. Not a name, as a characteristic.
عليه لبدا في سورة الجن وأنه لما قام عبد الله يدعوه, يعني لما قام النبي.
And that has been mentioned in the chapter of the jinn. The chapter of the jinn, there is a chapter in the Quran called the chapter of the jinn. I don't remember what is the order of that chapter, but there is a chapter in the Quran that is called the chapter of the jinn that mentioned that when the slave of Allah came to invite them, they came crowded around him to listen to him. Who came crowded around to listen to him? The jinn. The jinn came around the Prophet to listen to him. That is one interpretation. Another interpretation that the mushrikeen, the associators, came around the Prophet to prohibit him from inviting people to Islam. The mushrikeen, the mushriks of Quraysh, came around the Prophet to prohibit him or to prevent him from inviting people to Islam. So here in this chapter, in the chapter of the jinn, he was referred to as Abdullah, the slave of Allah, the slave of Allah. So some count it as a name and some count it as a characteristic. Here is a very, very, very nice piece of information. Very nice piece of information. Pay attention to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala characterized the Prophet as Abdullah in the three most honorable situations. He called him or he characterized him as Abdullah in the three most honorable situations. The first one, da'wah, inviting to the path of Allah, which came in this chapter that we just mentioned. The second situation in al-Isra and al-Mi'raj, when he was ascended to heaven. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, exalted be him who ascended his or sent his slave to Jerusalem and ascended him. So that is the second of Sheikh. Al-Maqam al-Thalith, Sheikh Kanish. And the third situation or the third condition was revelation, that he is the one who revealed to his slave. So three conditions here or three situations are the most or as honorable as they get. As honorable as it gets. Revelation, ascending to heaven, and inviting to the path of Allah. On these three different situations, Allah characterized him as the slave of Allah, Abdullah. Because worship of Allah or the slavery to Allah here is associated with the most honorable, the most honor possible, the most honor possible. Slavery to Allah is also always associated with as much honor as someone can get. And he is al-mutawakkil. Al-mutawakkil. What does that mean? He is the one that relies on Allah, depends on Allah, seeks the means relies on Allah to achieve his goals. And that came what? Where? Do you know where that came? It came in Torah. That name came in Torah. In Torah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are my slave and my messenger, I call you al-mutawakkil, the one who relies on me. Sheikh, كيف نفرق يعني لما يأتي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مقام الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف نفرق بين الاسم والصفة؟
نعم.
How can we differentiate between a name and a characteristic when it comes to the Prophet, peace be upon him? How can we differentiate between a name and a characteristic? How can we differentiate between a name and a characteristic?
أن يكون مصرحا فيها بالتسمية مثل إيه؟ مثل مثلا هذا الخبر مثلا إيه سميتك المتوحد.
We differentiate the criteria to differentiate between the name and characteristic is multifaceted. One of the facets is that when Allah tells us, when we are told either by Allah or by any authentic piece of knowledge, like for example here in the Torah. Which is authentic piece of knowledge, telling that the Prophet peace be upon him was called al-mutawakkil, the relier, the one who relies on Allah. So this is a name. This is a name. And let's remember that we're talking here about this domain here is the domain of the Prophet peace be upon him. We're not talking about any other domains. Because there is a whole different domain of knowledge that talks about the names and the characteristics of who? Of Allah. We're not talking about that domain of knowledge. We're now only talking about the domain of knowledge that deals with the names and the characteristics of Allah. Another example for the same criteria, which is relying on authentic knowledge, is Quran, where Allah said upon the tongue of Jesus that I am giving the glad tiding about the Prophet comes after me that he's called Ahmad. So what does that mean? It's a name. So when it comes in an authentic piece of knowledge, it refers to what? It refers to a name. It refers to a name.
فيكون محتملا لأن يكون من باب التسمية ومحتملا أن يكون من باب الوصف. وعلى كل حال يعني الخلاف في ذلك يعني لو يؤثر يعني
And Sheikh says, any debate about this will eventually not result in any significant impact upon the knowledge itself, because
تختلف عن أسماء يعني غيره في أنها يعني قصد بها مدحه عليه الصلاة والسلام بما اشتملت عليه من الصفات.
His names are different than the names of
people.
Why? Because this is funny. Because maybe your name is Hope, but you're the most desperate person. When it comes to the Prophet, that's not the case. His names are not oxymorons. His names indicate characteristics. His names indicate characteristics. So when we say that he is a generous, he is really generous. And look at his biography and you will know how generous he is. When we say that he is just and fair, look at his biography and you will know that he is just and fair. When it comes to praising Allah, we just mentioned that his one of his sunnahs was praising Allah even sometimes on things that we don't even imagine. When it comes to repentance, he is the repenter. When it comes to that, look at repenting to Allah 100 times in one session. So, and it's a good habit to name your children after the names of the prophets and the righteous or the pious people. This is what the Prophet said. The Prophet said, name your children after the prophets and pious people. So, any of his names are names that involve characteristics, but the names of people do not necessarily involve characteristics. So when, like I said, when there is a girl that her family called her Hope, and she grew up to be the most desperate person on the face of the earth, that doesn't mean that she's full of hope. So, but when you say that the Prophet is generous, he is. You bet he is one of the most generous people that ever walked on the face of the earth, and you will see that in his biography. There is a famous actor, his name is Adil, which means just. and justice and that person are diametrically opposite to each other. So the names do not necessarily indicate characteristics. But when it comes to the Prophet, peace be upon him. When it comes to the Prophet, peace be upon him, it's a totally different deal. The Prophet, his names definitely involve and indicate every meaning of the word. Every meaning of
the word. من كتابه لكن هو يقرأ صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ وربك الأكرم يعني هو يقرأ عليه الصلاة والسلام لكن من غير كتاب يعني القراءة قد تكون من كتاب وقد تكون من الإيه من الحفظ يعني الذي يقرأ من حفظه
Here is a very technical piece that we have to understand.
ولا يقرأ
Here is a very technical piece that we have to understand. There is a huge difference between illiterate and ignorant when it comes to the Prophet peace be upon him. Because in our world, in the normal scenarios, the word illiterate implies ignorance. Isn't that right? When I say to someone that you are an illiterate and you don't treat them right, that means he's ignorant. Because if he cannot treat them right, how can he learn? But when it comes to the Prophet peace be upon him, he is illiterate, but he is not ignorant. He is the most knowledgeable person ever about the deen of Allah. So he cannot read from a book, but he can read from his own memorization. And he was made illiterate for a certain purpose. And that purpose is, that's a defiance for everyone around him, because those around him said that he compiled Quran, gathering it from books before him. He looked at Torah, he looked at the Bible, and he became very knowledgeable about him, and he compiled Quran as a collection from, or a gathering of articles from Torah and Quran and the Bible. But you know what, he didn't read, and because he didn't read, there is no way for him he would have been able to read Torah and Quran and the Bible and gather or compile Quran as a collection of articles from them. So he cannot say that he did that. So that was a defiance for people around him. But the fact that he's illiterate doesn't mean that he's ignorant, because you know what? You will look at his hadith and know that he is miraculously articulate. He would be able to say in three words what you and I would hassle to say in a day. Trust me. And you'll be able to see that in his hadiths. He would be able to say in three or four words what you and I would hassle to say in 100 words. So he is very, very extremely articulate. He's extremely articulate. And he is very, extremely, he's extremely knowledgeable. He's extremely knowledgeable. He's the most knowledgeable person about the deen of Allah, about Islam. So does he read? Yes, but not from a book, from his own memorization. Does he read? Yes, not from a book, from his own memorization, from his own knowledge about deen. So while we associate ignorance with illiteracy in our time, that does not work with the Prophet peace be upon him. He is illiterate, but he is the most knowledgeable about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he encouraged us to learn reading and writing and become knowledgeable about the deen and about the sciences of this life. Our religion is a religion of education. We need to be educated. We need to learn. Because if we learn and become educated, we'll be ahead as Muslims. In fact, the Prophet peace be upon him, established a rule amongst the prisoners of war of the Battle of Badr, that each of them as a treaty, that each of them, if he wants to be set free, then he cannot be set free until he teaches 10 Muslims reading and writing. That can tell you how fervent the Prophet peace be upon him was about educating people, reading and writing, and sciences of this life in general, and also knowledge of the hereafter. So knowledge of this life and the hereafter. He is the Prophet that was called illiterate in the Torah and the Bible. The Torah and the Bible told about him that he would be illiterate.
والرحيم قال والرؤوف الرحيم
So please when it comes to the prophet completely disassociate between illiteracy and ignorance they are two faces with the same coin nowadays but not when it comes to the prophet peace be upon him he is extremely articulate extremely educated and extremely knowledgeable about the faith of Allah and the most knowledgeable person about the source of the deen the source of the deen And he is al-ra'uf. Al-ra'uf is a superlative indicating the extent of mercy. The extent of mercy. So he's not only merciful, he is among the most merciful people that you could think of. If not the most person, the most merciful person that you could think of. So al-ra'uf is a superlative of a superlative, a superlative of mercy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you have received a prophet from amongst your own, that finds it hard to see you, disbelieve. Amongst the believers, very merciful. Ra'uf is very merciful, so merciful, it might not find a suitable, there is no suitable translation for it because it's a superlative of the superlative. I don't know if the English language has that concept, but this is in Arabic. In Arabic there is a superlative of the superlative. So when you say that the most merciful is a superlative, find another superlative for it and comes then the Ra'uf or the one who is merciful but to the extent that he is beyond merciful people. Beyond merciful people.
قال وشاهدا مبشرا نذيرا
And then the author moves to three names شاهد مبشر نذير وشاهدا مبشرا ونذيرا شاهد means witness مبشر means the one who gives glad tidings ونذيرا means the one who gives warning the one who gives warning or admonition let's talk about each name in detail شاهد witness means that he is the one that witnessed that the prophets before him came with truth and he is also the witness it means that he is the one who is a witness before Allah on the day of judgment that he reported the message to his people who witnesses that you and I receive the message it is the prophet peace be upon him he will come on the day of judgment and witness before Allah that and gives the testimony of truth a testimony of fact before Allah that you and I received the message this is very funny. On the day of judgment, the people of Noah, do you know Prophet Noah? How long did he stay in his people? Noah stayed in his people for 950 years, inviting them to Islam for 950 years. And on the day of judgment, Allah will bring his people who disbelieved in him. And will say to them, who witnesses, he will say to them, did you receive a messenger, or do you witness, or do you say that you received a messenger from amongst your own? They will say, no, we have witnessed that we have not received anyone. So they will deny that they received a messenger, even though he stayed amongst them for 950 years. And who will witness? The Ummah of Muhammad. So the Ummah of Muhammad and the Prophet on top of all of them or leading all of them will be witnessing that the messengers before him reported the truth. The messengers and the prophets before him reported the truth. Reported monotheism. Or told the truth and told monotheism. And Mubashir, the one that gives glad tidings, the one that gives you and I glad tidings, that if we follow his path, if we obey him, we'll be admitted to paradise.
ينذر الكافرين عقاب الله سبحانه
and he is the nadir, the one who gives the warning. He gives warning to the disbelievers that there is huge punishment waiting for them if they continued on their misguidance and leading others astray too. O you Prophet, we have sent you Mubashir, the one who gives glad tidings, and Nadir, and the one who gives the warning, and an inviter to the path of Allah, and a huge light of guidance to people. A huge light of guidance to people. And so, with the Prophets before him, giving glad tidings to those who obey Allah, that they will be admitted to the paradise, and give warning and admonition to those who disobey Allah and walk different paths than the right path, that there will be tough punishment waiting or harsh punishment waiting for them. Waiting. And Siraj and Munira, and please do me a favor and learn this word in Arabic. Siraj and Munira, it's a beautiful word. There might not be a very suitable translation for it, but it is the light that is so much full of light to the extent that it would be too difficult to avoid it. You cannot ignore it. He is the lamp, that is full of light to the extent that there is no way that you wouldn't be able to see it. Full of light that you wouldn't, there is no way that you can avoid it. Sirajan Munira, a very luminescent lamp, a lamp that is too much full of light to the extent that you can never avoid it. You can never avoid it. What is the light? Guidance, leading you to the right path, leading you to the satisfaction and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, blessed be He who made in the sky stars and a moon, and Sirajan Munira. And here Sirajan Munira, here in this verse, refers to the sun. The sun is full of light. It's extremely lightful, and that's what the Prophet peace be upon him is. He is Sirajan Munira, very lightful, full of light. And if you follow him, you'll know why. You'll know why he's full of light. He shows you the truth, the right path. And he also shows you the wrong path. He tells you what the wrong path is, what is halal and what is haram. If it was not for him, we wouldn't have known what is halal and what is haram. If it was not for him, we wouldn't have known what is our religion. If it was not for him, we would have known how to do ablution, how to pray, how to practice our acts of worship, how to worship Allah, how to get closer to Allah, and how to be admitted to the paradise. He is for us the light that we rely on to see the path. If it was not for him, we wouldn't have been able to see the path. That is why he is the light. And Sheikh says here that there is a nicety. And that nicety is that if we shut the light here in this room, we won't be able to see anything. So our eyes cannot see anything without the light. Our eyes cannot be able to see anything without the light. And there are two things here. There is the sight and there is the insight. There is the sight and there is insight. Sight needs eyes, but insight needs heart. So the light of the Prophet, peace be upon him, gives you insight. It shows you, gives you sight and insight. Gives you sight, which means it shows you the path. And gives you insight, it means it tells you how to walk on that path. It shows you the path, and it's not only that it shows you the path, it doesn't leave you there. It doesn't leave you upon showing you the path. It also tells you how to take each step in the path till you meet with Allah, till your death. It shows you every step in the way, even how to enter the bathroom. It shows you everything.
كذلك صلب يعني صلب السراج صلبه منيرا وصلبه المزمل.
So when you say that he is a siraj, the lamp that emits immense light, the lamp that emits immense light, he is the one that is Al-Muzammil and Al-Mudaththir. And these came in two chapters. These two names came in two different chapters. Ya Ayyuha Al-Muzammil and the other chapter, Ya Ayyuha Al-Mudaththir. O you Mudaththir and O you Muzammil.
يلبسه فوق ثيابه
or you covered
أو يغطى به فوق
in
ثيابه
that cover or the roof cover that the Prophet peace be upon him asked for to cover him above his clothes when he was scared from the angel that he saw in his first encounter with that angel when he it was the first time that he received the revelation. The first time that he received Quranic revelation was when he had his first encounter with the angel Jibreel. He ran to Khadija, his wife, shivering, and he said, "Zammiluni, cover me, daffiruni, cover me." So that's why he became Al-Mudaththir and Al-Muzammil.
فأنزل الله تعالى عليه يا أيها المدثر قم فأنزل. أنزل الله عليه يا أيها المزمل قم الليل.
So Allah called him and said, "يا أيها المزمل, O you Al-Muzammil, stand up in the night." And mention the name of Allah in the prayer. Take off this cover. Take off this cover. Take off this comfort zone. And stand up in the night, mentioning the name of Allah. So these are two of his names, Al-Mudaththir and Al-Muzammil.
شرف هذا الاسم في أنه يعني اسم ناداه الله تعالى به تصرف يعني أنه وصف يعني عارض لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن لما ناداه الله تعالى به فاكتسب يعني هذا الاسم يعني.
And while the names here do not indicate specific characteristics, they became honored names or noble names because Allah used them. Allah used them in the Quran, that's why they became noble names. If Allah called the Prophet with these names, even though they do not indicate specific characteristics, he's the one who is in the cover, do not necessarily indicate specific characteristics, but became names worthy of mentioning and very mentioning and very noble names because Allah used them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them. And داعيا لله والمذكرة inviter to Allah. And Allah said, and who is better saying than someone who invites to the path of Allah, guides people to the path of Allah? What was his business? His business was not merchandise, his business was not trading, his business was not this or that. His business, his main business was inviting people to the path of Allah. His main business was guidance, inviting to the path of Allah. Al-Mudaththir, the one who reminds people. And this is taken from the book of Allah. You are Mudaththir, you are reminder, reminding people, reminding people. Reminding people of what? Reminding people of Allah. If it was not for him, people were astray, worshipping idols, worshipping statues that do not do anything, that you can pass urine on. Statues do not do anything. Who reminded them of Allah? It is the Prophet who reminds us of Allah. It is the Prophet, peace be upon him. He is the one who reminded us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who reminded us of Allah. He is the one who reminded us of worship in sincerity or with sincerity. If it was not for him, we wouldn't remember.
ونعمة وهادي أسماء عليه الصلاة والسلام رحمة وذلك في قول الله تعالى إيه
and رحمة mercy
and نعمة blessing
and هادي the one who guides people.
الأذن هو معنى إيه يصدق ما يقال له فقال الله تعالى قل أذن خير
There is a verse that was revealed in Quran saying that there are those amongst them who harmed the Prophet, saying that he is udhun. Udhun means he believes anything that is said to him. Anything that is said to him, he believes it. Allah said, He believes you because He is good to you, and He is rahmah to you, He is mercy to you. So, when you think of him as a mercy, think of him as a mercy from Allah to you. So he is merciful to you, he is merciful to the people around him, he was merciful to people around him, and he is mercy from Allah to you, to us, because if it was not for him, we would have been all in the hellfire, maybe. Why is that? Because if it was not for him, we would have been believers. So he is mercy from Allah to all of us, because if it was not for him, we would have continued our disbelief and shirk. People were worshipping idols, people were in extreme shirk, in extreme association. They were associating idols with Allah. If it was not for him, people would have continued that evil that they were doing. So he came as mercy to the people before all of them would be admitted to the hellfire. He is mercy to us. And look at the nations before him. There were nations that were tortured before him. Nations that were tortured and nations that were purged because of torture or because of heavy torment. Some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took by tornadoes, some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took by earthquakes, and some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took by sending stones on them, and so on and so forth. So they died under torment, under heavy torment, and they perished under that heavy torment. But that didn't happen to us. It could have happened to us if it was not for the Prophet, peace be upon him, was our guidance. So that is why he is mercy from Allah. Allah wanted us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be merciful to us, so He sent Him to us, so that He embraces us onto His mercy. So the Prophet himself was merciful to people, and he was the mercy of Allah to people. He was the mercy of Allah to people. And blessing from Allah. Blessing from Allah. He is blessing from Allah. He is a blessing from Allah. So when you thank Allah for, when you count your blessings, count Muhammad as one of them. Count Muhammad as one of them. He is indeed a huge blessing. Again, if it was not for him, you would have been in a totally different place. So count him as one of your blessings that Allah bestowed on you. Thank Allah for him. When you thank Allah for your blessings, thank Allah, say Allah, Allahumma laka alhamd for Muhammad. Allah, I am grateful to you for Muhammad. And Hadi means the guide. He guides us. So there is a subtlety here that we need to understand. There are verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, you will not be able to guide. And here we are saying that He is the guide. How do you reconcile between them? You reconcile between them by saying that the Prophet does not guide those that Allah does not want to guide. Do you understand this? The Prophet, peace be upon him, does not guide or cannot guide those that Allah means not to guide. Like Abu Lahab, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. Abi Lahab was meant not to be guided. No matter what the Prophet peace be upon him did, Abu Lahab would not respond to the guidance of the Prophet, because Allah meant that Abu Lahab would be admitted to the hellfire, so Abu Lahab would not be guided. And there are two types of guidance. There is the hidayah of irshad, and there is the hidayah of is'ad. The hidayah of irshad is the guidance of guiding people to the path and telling them or showing them how to walk on the path. There is the guidance of the Prophet, and there is the guidance of Is'ad, which is the guidance of happiness, which is the guidance of making people happy in the hereafter. That is something that the Prophet cannot own. The Prophet cannot own that you get admitted to the paradise. He cannot tell you that you are admitted to the paradise. That he cannot do. What he can do is showing you the path and showing you how to walk in that path. But not admitting you to the paradise, which is the guidance of Is'ad, the guidance of happiness. That is not his.
الصادق الأمين المصدوق يعني وغير ذلك يعني من إيه؟
And other names that the author here says that we're not going to be able to comprehend. Lots of other names. And he said that I didn't mean to enumerate them exclusively because there's no way to comprehend them. And there are lots and lots of them. These are only few of them that I could come up with. That's what he said.
يشير هنا إلى أن القاضي إلى الإمام القاضي أبي بكر ابن العربي يشير إلى الإمام أبي بكر ابن العربي رحمه الله تعالى القاضي المالكي له كتاب اسمه عارضة الأحوذي في شرح سنن الترمذي فالإمام أبو بكر ابن العربي يقول إيه ذكر 67 اسما للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
الإمام أبو بكر ابن العربي very famous scholar mentioned 67 names of the Prophet peace be upon him and it was said also 69 names actually it was mentioned 99 Ibn al-Arabi himself after he counted 67 he kept on going till he counted 99 names
بعض العلماء أو زادها بعض العلماء حتى أوصلها إلى 99 اسما لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
of the Prophet peace be upon him 99 names
قال ولدني دحية ولابن دحيتي الفحص فيها 300 يشير هنا إلى الإمام ابن دحية وهو إيه اسمه أبو الخطاب عمر ابن حسن الكلبي
ابن دحية
الداني من علماء الأندلس
ابن دحية one of the scholars of الأندلس
الحافظ ابن دحية
one of the scholars of الأندلس
عدى
or Spain was when Spain was under the Islamic rule he counted up to 300 names
وكونها ألفا ففي العارضة ذكره عن بعض الصوفية يقول في عارضة الأحوذي لابن العربي ذكر أن بعض الإيه الصوفية
and
يعني أوصلوا أسماء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
some of the Sufis
لكن طبعا هذا فيه يعني تكلف يعني منهم
some of the Sufis counted up to 1000 names
لكن فيما ذكر يعني كفاية ويحصل به المقصود يعني فالمقصود أن هذه الأسماء الكريمة يعني مشتملة على صفات كريمة لما اتصف بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مما يعني يتعرف به المسلم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني يكمل به إيمانه برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتعرف على صفاته وهذه الأسماء يعني سواء كانت أسماء أو صفات هي مشتملة على صفات رسول الله
all these names involve or indicate beautiful characteristics of the Prophet peace be upon him ما موجود الشيخ سيش البيت تقريبا
في البيت يعني موجود في بعض النسخ يعني
there is one stanza that is dropped here from the books that we have which is the stanza of the Sufists so she says there is no
الباب الذي بعده
about this stanza anyways
نسب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام
telling that Sufists have up to 1000 names of the Prophet peace be upon him
ذكر آبائه وأجداده فهذا مما يعني يحتاج المسلم يعني إلى
The second chapter here, if it was suitable to divide the poetry into chapters, the second chapter, the second piece of poetry is dedicated to the lineage of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The lineage of the Prophet. And it was the tradition of Arabs at the time that the Prophet, peace be upon him, to be very proud of their lineage, very proud of their lineage.
آباءه وأجداده وكذا فكان من حكمة الله سبحانه وتعالى أن اختار الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام من أشرفهم نسبا من نسب
And it was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to select the Prophet, peace be upon him, amongst them to be one of those that have one of the most honorable lineage amongst the Arabs at that time, that were known for lots of good characteristics. The lineage of the Prophet's family and his ancestors were known for lots of good characteristics, honesty, courage, and lots of other good characteristics. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant to do that, to support his Prophet with all the means required to make people around him believe in him. So his family and his tribe was among the most honorable amongst the Arabs. And his lineage was amongst the most honorable at that time amongst the Arabs. People used to mention them with every good. Good manners, good ethics, good carriage, generosity, and you name it. So this new piece of poetry or chapter will be dedicated to the lineage of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Let's have Sheikh go through it first, and then we try to explain it. One of the things that Sheikh says here is that the lineage is known, and one of the reasons the lineage is known is that every marriage that took place throughout that lineage is a correct marriage. So there is no person in that whole hierarchy or that whole lineage that came out of wedlock. There isn't any one of them. Every single one of them came in correct, pure marriage, which means it's a pure blood lineage. It's a pure blood lineage.
وابن عبد الله عبد المطلب أبوه وهو شيبة الحمد نصر يقول وهو ابن عبد الله عبد المطلب أبوه يعني هنا إيه كلام أحيانا يكون التركيب يحتاج إلى توضيح يقول وهو ابن عبد الله يعني هو محمد ابن عبد الله ماشي وهو ابن عبد الله يعني هو محمد ابن عبد الله
He is Muhammad the son of Abdullah the son of Abdullah
عبد المطلب أبوه
عبد المطلب is his father
أبو من أبو عبد الله
عبد المطلب is not the father of the Prophet عبد المطلب is the father
وهو شيبة الحمد
عبد الله
أو وهو شيبة الحمد نسب وهو شيبة الحمد نسب يعني عبد المطلب سمي شيبة الحمد
عبد المطلب one of his names was شيبة الحمد
هو جد رسول الله صلى الله عليه
وسلم
كان يلقب بشيبة الحمد
grandfather of the Prophet
لأنه ولد في رأسه شيبة
because he was born with some of his hair was gray hair can you imagine that when he was born some of his hair was gray already the grandfather of the Prophet peace be upon him that's why he was given that name شيبة الحمد and شيبة in Arabic means gray hair
قال أبوه عمرو هاشم والجد عبد
Sorry, Shayba, in English means gray hair.
زيد يقول أبوه عمرو هاشم أبوه اللي هو أبو من أبو عبد المطلب
His father is أبو عبد المطلب
عمرو ولقبه هاشم
No, the father of عبد المطلب is عمرو
ولقبه هاشم
and his nickname is هاشم
لأنه إيه أول من هشم الثريد لقومه هشم الثريد الثريد اللي هو الخبز الذي
because that person in the lineage of the Prophet peace be upon him honored lineage of the Prophet peace be upon him used to break the bread
مع المرق يسردون معه الخبز يعني الخبز مع اللحم
put it in the broth and meat and gift it or give it to the people to eat so that is why he was called Hashim Hashim is the one who breaks the bread into pieces and puts it in the broth and the meat making something that in Arabic they call Farid Farid or Fatta Farid and that Farid was a very splendid kind of food at that time it was a very splendid kind of food broth, bread and meat and the same mix in the same mix. So he was called Hashim because he was breaking the bread and putting it in that mix and giving it to people to eat. And the grandfather, his name was Abdu Manaf ibn Qusay Zayd. And he was called Abdu Manaf because the word Manaf means increase. And increase here is that he was very tall. Increasingly, he had an increase in his height. That is why they called him Abdul Manaf, the son of Qusay Zayd.
Qusay
was the father of Abdul Manaf, and Qusay was actually a nickname, but his real name was Zayd.
ولقبه قصي. قال ابن كلاب أي حكيم يا أخي، وهو ابن مرة بن كعب بن لؤي. قصي هذا اللي هو اسمه زيد ولقبه قصي، هو ابن كلاب، هو ابن كلاب. وكلاب هذا
قصي
لقب
is the son
لحكيم
of كلاب,
ابن كلاب أي حكيم،
which is a nickname for حكيم.
اسمه حكيم ولقبه كلاب اللي هو والد قصي.
Who is the father of قصي؟
اسمه حكيم ولقبه كلاب. لماذا لقب بكلاب؟ قالوا كان يحب الاصطياد بالكلاب.
So why did they call him كلاب؟ Because he liked to use dogs for hunting.
المقاومة للأعداء في الحرب. أو لأنه كان يحب الصيد بالكلاب، هذا مشهور إنه إيه؟ كان أكثر صيده بالكلاب، كان يجمعها.
In the fights or in the wars, he had lots of dogs. That person, that grandfather, yes, great grandfather, great great grandfather, probably he's someone up in the lineage of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who is the son of Murra. The son of Ka'b, the son of Lu'ay, the son of Ghalib, the son of Fihr.
وهو ابن غالب أي ابن فهر. وهو ابن مالك أي
the son of Malik.
يبقى عندنا إيه؟
The son of Nadr.
كعب ابن لؤي.
We're going
غالب
way down in the lineage of the Prophet, peace. Way up actually in the lineage of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
The son of معناه الإيه؟ الحجر. نعم؟
كنانة. The son of خزيمة.
الحجر الإيه؟
The son of
الطويل.
مدركة. مدركة.
بالنسبة ل مسألة يعني من هو جد قريش، هناك يعني أقوال في هذه المسألة، وقالوا أصح الأقوال يعني أشهر الأقوال أن قريش هو إيه، هو فهر.
There are some narrations that say that فهر، that فهر that we're talking about is Quraysh himself. Is Quraysh himself. Fihr is Quraysh himself. And to whom the whole tribe of Quraysh was attributed. He is the one who established the whole Quraysh, the whole tribe of Quraysh. And Al-Bayhaqi and many others supported this opinion that Fihr himself is the father of all Quraysh. The father of all Quraysh. Or the one who established the tribe of
Quraysh. ذهب الرافعي والنووي إلى أن قريشا هم أولاد النضر ابن كنانة. فالحيجين لسه بعد كده اللي هو إيه؟ إحنا قلنا فهر ابن مالك ابن النضر ابن كنانة. فالإمامان الرافعي والنووي وكذا قالوا قريش
الرافعي
بنو النضر
النووي and some others said that Quraysh actually is the children are the children of النضر بن كنانة. Not only فهر but actually the children of النضر بن كنانة.
ابن النضر يكونون من قريش أيضا، وأولاد النضر ابن كنانة اللي هو الجد الأعلى يكونون من قريش.
الشيخ
نعم.
يعني مسألة حفظهم للأنساب بهذا الشكل العجيب الشيخ، هل فيها
نعم.
هل فيها العرب عامة في هذا الوقت
نعم،
شيخ؟ هل
لا العرب طبعا كانوا يحفظون أنسابهم، وكان سيأتي هناك يعني قسم من النسب إيه متفق عليه، وهو الذي كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني إذا انتسب يذكره عليه الصلاة والسلام، كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا انتسب لا يجاوز إيه عدنان، نعم لا يجاوز
I
عدنان،
was asking about how
ينتسب صلى الله عليه
peculiar
وسلم
it is
يذكر
that these
آباءه إلى
folks
عدنان
knew
ثم
about
يقول
their
كذب
lineage all the way to
النسابون
that extent.
ثلاثة،
Actually, Sheikh says
انكذب
even to a higher
النسابون
extent, the
كذب
Arabs at that time
النسابون
were very, very,
كان النسابون بعد ذلك إيه وصلوا
very
النسب
keen
يعني من
to learn
عدنان
about their
إلى
lineage,
آدم،
and they would
ذكروا يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كذب يعني
be keen to learn
النسب
about
وبعد
their lineage
عدنان
to a
إلى
very,
يعني
very high
الله تعالى أعلم
to a
يعني
very
هو
high
طبعا
degree.
مجزوم ان عدنان
And
هذا من
we will come later
ولد
to know that the
اسماعيل
Prophet,
يعني من
peace be
ذرية
on him,
اسماعيل عليه السلام وكذا، لكن
mentioned
احكي
his
للنسب بين
lineage
عدنان
till Adnan,
واسماعيل
and we
ثم
will know where is
بعده
Adnan
الى
in his
ابراهيم الى
lineage.
ادم
Some people
عليه
went
السلام، كان
to more extent or to an
مما
extreme
يروج
extent,
النسابون
taking the
وكذب
lineage
يعني
all the way
قبيح
to
بمعنى
Adam.
تعمد
But that's not
بمعنى
what the
خطأ
Prophet
ايضا،
did. We're only gonna
كذب
look
بصيغة
at the
العرب
authentic
قد
part of
بمعنى
it, which is
تعمد
the
قد
Prophet,
يكون
what the
خطأ.
Prophet mentioned, only until
ما بعد عدنان
Adnan.
يعني ليس محل يعني اتفاق او ثقه، يعني هو مما يرويه من السابق قد يكون صحيحا قد يكون فيه بعض الاجداد الساقطين، قد يكون فيه زياده فيه نقصان وكذا، لكن يعني بصفه عامه يعني الى عدنان كما ذكرنا هذا نسب يعني متفق عليه وثابت،
Until Adnan, this
ثم
is
عدنان
lineage
مع
that is
معلوم انه من
unanimously
ذريه
agreed
اسماعيل
upon,
ابن
because the
ابراهيم
Prophet,
عليهما السلام،
peace be upon him,
وابراهيم
mentioned
من ذريه نوح،
that. And Adnan
لان
comes
الله
from
تعالى
the lineage
قال
of
لعلهم
Ibrahim,
ذريتهم
and Ibrahim
ابراهيم
is
لكن
from the
ذريه
lineage
ادم
of Nuh,
عليهم
and
السلام،
Nuh is from the
لكن
lineage of Adam.
تفاصيل اسماء الاجداد فيها يعني نقولات عن السبيل الله تعالى اعلم ان في صحه. طب نقول يعني بسرعه كده، يقول ايه وهو ابن مالك اي ابن النضر،
And he is the son
وابوه
of
كنانة
Malik,
ما
son of
ادرك،
Ibn al-Nadr, son of
والده
Kinana,
خزيمة بن
son
مدركة،
of Khuzaymah ibn
وابوه
Mudrika.
يعني وابوه، وهذه على لغة ايه على لغة القصر يعني بعض على لغة النقص، وعلى لغة النقص اللي هي في الأسماء الخمسة من يحذف منها حروف الايه العلة، بعض العرب يحذفون حروف
And
العلة
here
من
the author
الأسماء
said
الخمسة
أبوه, not
ويعرضونها
أبوه,
بالحركات،
أبوه,
يقول
not
أبوه
أبوه.
وأبه
He
ورأيت، جاء أبوه ورأيت
removed
أبه ومرأيت
the
أبه،
letter waw in
والشاهد
Arabic, which is a
المشير وإن
vowel,
أبيه اقتدى
which is
عدوه
a vowel, and the reason he
كرم
removed
أن
it is
يشاهد
that he
أبه
wants
كما
to
يسمى،
give the stanza
كما
the
يقول
balance,
وأبه
the
كنانة
balance that
ما
it needs.
أبركه،
So you'd find him
يعني
sometimes using words that are not
تعجب
necessarily
إيه من كثرة بركته، والبركة اللي هي الخير الكثير يعني
very
تفرع منه
familiar,
خير كثير، لأنه
but
من
are
ذريته رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
knowable, people know about him.
المهاجرون
And he
قريش
would remove sometimes a vowel,
كثير من المؤمنين
rarely,
يعني
I'm not
تفرع
saying
من
that this is
ذريته
frequent, it's very rare, but he would
وأبوه
use such a
كنانة ما
technique
أدركه،
to
والده
maintain the
خزيمة
balance
بن
of the
مدركة،
stanzas, maintain the balance of
اللي
the
هو
tone
والد
of
إيه؟
the stanzas.
والد كنانة يعني كنانة ابن خزيمة بن
Let's not
مدركة،
talk about the art of Arabic
وهو
poetry,
ابن
because
إلياس
this is a whole different,
أي ابن مضرة
this is a whole different topic.
ابن نزار ابن معد لا مرة،
And he
يعني
is
لا شك
the son of Ilyas,
لا شك إيه في هذا
the son of
النسب،
Nazar, the son
يبقى
of
إيه
Ma'ad,
خزيمة ابن مدركة ابن إلياس
the son
ابن مضر ابن نزار ابن معد،
of
هذا في
Adnan.
نسب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، قال لا مرة يعني لا شك في صحة هذا النسب.
There is no doubt about
وهو
that.
ابن
That's what the author
عدنان
says. The son of
وأهل
Adnan.
النسب قد أجمعوا إلى
And
هنا
this is
في
where
الكتب،
the people has,
وأهل
have
النسب
unanimously agreed upon.
قد أجمعوا إلى هنا في الكتب، ويعني طبعا بعض أجداد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هؤلاء كانوا في فترة التوحيد يعني قبل حصول الشرك في جزيرة العرب، يعني يذكرون أن معدا وعدنان وكذا أنهم كانوا من الموحدين يعني على ملة إسماعيل عليه السلام، وكانوا من الصالحين وكذا، ومن بعدهم من أجداد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى إسماعيل كانوا قبل حدوث الإيه الشرك، يعني أول من إيه سيب السوائب و بحر البحيرة وكذا في جزيرة العرب هو عمرو بن لحي، وهؤلاء اللي هم يعني معد وعدنان وكذا بعض المؤرخين يقولون إن كان في زمن موسى عليه السلام.
Some say that Ma'ad and Adnan are contempt are parallel to the time of of Moses, peace be upon him,
إسماعيل عليه السلام
are parallel to the time of Moses, peace be upon him.
على ملة إسماعيل عليه السلام يعني يوحدون الله تعالى ولا يشركون به.
And
بعد ذلك حصل إيه الشرك يعني في قصة
that shirk started happening after Ismail, Ismail and Ibrahim and Ismail, peace be upon them, definitely were on the monotheism. But then later down the lineage of the Prophet, shirk started to happen among the family until it reached the Prophet, peace be upon him, who erased all that. So here, the author doesn't want to go beyond Adnan. He says that this is where all the people of the lineage agreed upon, and this is where even the Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned. After that, people actually started trying to make some lineage from Adnan to Adam, to deduce lineage from Adnan to Adam. But the author said that we're not going to be we're going to try to select the most authentic amongst these deductions and introduce it to you. That's what the author says. He said that Adnan comes from Udad. He's the son of Udad.
يزيد أدا في العدد بينهما بعضهم يقول عدنان ابن أد ابن أدد وبعضهم يقول عدنان
some
ابن
says
أدد
that some say that Adnan is the son of Udad and some say that Adnan is the son of Udad the son of Ud
ناحور بعد جده
who is the son of
عدنان ابن أدد ابن مقوم ابن
مقوم
ناحور
who is the son of نحور
who is the son of تيرح ابن يعربا وأن يعربا هو ابن يشتبه
هو the son of يعرب
يبقى ناحور ابن تيرح ابن يعرب ابن ايه يشجب
هو the son of يشجب يشجب
ناحور ابن تيرح ابن يعرب ابن يشجب
يعرب هذا الشيخ المشهور اللي هو
يعرب اللي هو جد العرب
يعرب is the father of all Arabs يعرب is the father of all Arabs
العرب يعني
actually the word Arab or Arab come from يعرب who is the son of all Arabs so يعرب is the famous one here
وإسماعيل أب له
who is the son of يشجب who is the son of نابت نابت actually the son of إسماعيل the son of إبراهيم peace be upon them both so يعرب is the son of يشلح the son of نابد the son of إسماعيل Prophet إسماعيل the son of Prophet إبراهيم who is the son of تارح
إبراهيم اللي هو إبراهيم
إبراهيم he's referring to him here as Abraham here is another another example of using that technique that I was telling you about which is removing the vowel he used it here again to maintain the balance of the stanza but anyways he's the son of Abraham
who is
Ibrahim son of تارح son of آزر
آزر ابن ناحور
actually تارح is آزر تارح is آزر who is the son of ناحور who is the son of ساروح the son of أرغو فالخ the son of عيبر the son of شارخ the son of someone called الشفخذ
وهو ابن شاروح ابن أرغو فالخ أب له ابن عيبر ابن شالخ
who is the son of
ناحور ابن
سام the son of نوح prophet نوح
ابن فالخ ابن عندكم ساروح في نسخة ساروح لكن النسخة هنا ايه شاروح يعني
شيخ says that there are two versions of the book two copies of the book one of them uses ساروح and one uses شاروح شاروح That is all lineage. There is no other thing in the stanza here, stanzas here but just lineage. Only lineage. Son of, son of, son of, son of. So only lineage. Son of so and so, son of so and so, son of so and so. But amazingly, though, even though he is telling nothing but lineage, he's putting them in stanzas of poetry that maintain the balance of the tone. SubhanAllah. Very clever with the language.
المناوي ساروح بمهملات الحافظ ابن حجر ضبطه شاروح
الحافظ ابن حجر said that he's actually شاروح not ساروح الشين
المعجمة والخاء المعجمة شاروح
شاروح actually in some others even and Allah only knows she says Allah only knows
في خلاف في ضبطه يعني
كان
brother says all these names are Jewish names. Sheikh says no, these are not Jewish names, there are actually names with the Suryani language. Suryani language, which is the language of Ibrahim, peace be upon him. The language of Ibrahim, the Suryani language. Suryani language, which is the language of Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, not Jewish. Who is the son of Nuh, Prophet Nuh, the son of Lamech, the son of Metsholah, the son of Hanukh, the son of Warcha, the son of Prophet Idris, the son of Prophet Idris. See, there are prophets here in the lineage. The son of the son of Hanukh, who is Idris.
ابن متوشلخ ابن خنوخ ويقول خنوخ
So some say that خنوخ is Idris himself, Prophet Idris.
هو اسم ايه؟ او لقب لنبي الله ادريس عليه السلام. وهو فيما ورخ ادريس فيما زعم يرد ابوه.
So Idris is the son of Yard, who is the son of Mahlil, who is the son of Qaynan, who is the son of Yanish. And Yanish is chief. Yanish is prophet chief. No, no. Yanish is the son of prophet chief. And chief is the name of a prophet. And chief is the son of who? Chief is the son of Adam. That is the end of the lineage. It cannot go beyond that. It cannot go beyond Adam. So the guy took it all the way to Adam. This is really amazing. Shayth is a prophet. Shayth actually is a prophet that came in the Sunnah of the Prophet when the Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned hadith about the Prophet. Abu Dharr, the famous companion, asked the Prophet how many books have been revealed by Allah. He said 104 books. 50 of them were parjas that were revealed to Shayth, or Shayth, in Arabic Shayth, who is the son of Adam, the son of Adam. May Allah have peace upon him. And Quraysh, as many say, or the majority say, is Fihr. Fihr himself is Quraysh. But others, or the majority, I don't know, actually some say it's Fihr, which is the correct. Some say it is Fihr, which is the correct. But the majority say it is another. النضر. So the correct one is that he is Fihr. Quraysh is Fihr.
الأكثرين أنهم إيه؟ قالوا النضر بن مالك هو إيه؟ جد قريش الجد الذي تجتمع في قريش لكن الأصح أن إيه؟ أن قريشا لقب بفهر وأن فهر هذا هو إيه؟ جد هذه القبيلة ومن لم ينتسب إليه لا يكون قريشا.
So Fihr is the father of Quraysh.
وأمه آمنة والدها وهب يلي عبد مناف جدها وهو ابن زهرة يلي كلاب
And his mother is Amina. Her father is Wahb, who comes from Abd Manaf, who is the grandfather. So here, they relate to each other. She is his distant cousin. She is his distant cousin. So she meets their lineages meet where? On Abd Manaf or at Abd Manaf. They actually meet at عبد مناف
والدة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
all the way to كلاب
ابن عبد مناف ابن زهرة ابن كلاب
the son of زهرة the son of كلاب
كلاب وفيه مع أبيه انتسابه فهذا نسب رسول
this is the honorable lineage of our prophet peace be upon him the best of the breed next inshallah we will talk about his birth That was enjoyable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the benefit of what we've listened to and what we've learned. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah.
Any questions, by the way, if anybody has any questions?
بالنسبة للأسماء الخمسة فيها يعني
What
لغة
are the five
الاتمام ولغة النقص ولغة القصر.
Grammatical
يعني
names.
ثلاث لغات يعني كان يذكر المنحاة. لغة
The
الاتمام
five grammatical names are names in Arabic that have
يعني
a peculiarity of the fact that you can remove the vowel, you can remove the vowel from the middle of the name when it comes in certain positions in the sentence. So Abu means his father. Here the waw or the waw is a vowel that you can remove if it takes a certain position in the language. That's a grammatical technicality. That grammatical technicality applies to five different types of nouns. Five different types of nouns. Father is one of them. Akh or brother is one of them. Father-in-law or ham is one of them. Off is one of them. Mouth is one of them. That might not make any sense to those of you who speak English, but if you speak Arabic, you will know that it makes a lot of sense.
أبوه وأخوه وحموها وأخوه.
أب أخ حم ذو فو. Father, brother. Father-in-law, of, the conjunction of, and mouth. These words in Arabic are words that have vowels that can be rejected or removed from the word if the word comes in certain positions in the sentence. You're not going to use that in English. So, but in Arabic, if you do that, this is actually one of the things or one of the technicalities that the author here, or the poet here, used to maintain the balance of the tone of the stanzas of the poetry. We call it enough for tonight. Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And peace be upon our Prophet.